Okay. Father, we thank you for the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask that they would assist Mrs. Agostinelli right now with her pain that she's been having, Lord. Please open up her eyes to the gospel and her need of salvation, Lord. We do ask that it would help Justine have relief from this pain that's in her leg. We do ask that it would open up an appointment with her doctor, Lord, the specialist, so that she can go and be evaluated. And we do ask you to help the swelling in John's feet to go down as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you speak a little louder, please, Dad, so we can hear you better?
All right, I'll try that, Paul. I'll try to make an adjustment.
Please, thank you. There's people there?
I'll try to make an adjustment call for you. See if that helps any with for on your end. Okay. Is that any better, Paul?
Just a little bit more, please. A little more, please. How's that? I'm getting better for you.
All right. Yeah, you can't talk among yourselves. So you just have to listen. Is that any better, there, Elaine? Or now are you holding the phone up to your ear? Okay. So, because you're welcome. Is everything started back there? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So I want to check. Okay, Acts chapter 8 today. In the previous chapter, we know it was a long sermon that Stephen had preached there. Stephen gave a good history of. A good overview of the history of Israel and how Israel has a tendency of rejecting the truth. They reject the prophets, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ himself, they rejected Stephen, and even today they they're rejecting the truth. Now, not just with Israel, but everybody that's not a believer has a tendency of rejecting the truth. But Israel's not in its own class of people for rejecting the truth, but they're so close. They're so close to having the truth. That's what's discouraging, is that they have the idea of accepting as Abraham of Isaac. They believe in creation. At least they should if they accept the Old Testament. But yet, when it comes to the fulfillment of their very own prophecy, then they have rejected it. And we see here in verse 1 of chapter 8, we see that Saul is there consenting to the death of Stephen. He was there consenting to his death. And during this time of the death of Stephen, there was a lot of persecution going on throughout the church. And because of the great persecution that was going throughout the church began to scatter. They weren't staying all in Jerusalem. And so the persecution came, and then the church scattered abroad, which was a good thing that they scattered, because now they're duplicating themselves. They're going this way and that way and this way and the other way. That's what the persecution brought. Now, persecution was not good, for sure. Killing Stephen was not a good thing. But God, in his overall sovereign plan, used the persecution within the church to cause that church to grow and to spread. It wasn't just, it didn't remain right there in Jerusalem. It grew, and it multiplied, and it spread. So, Mrs. Grummer, do question number 2, please.
Question number 2, in two sections. Who buried Stephen and what was made over him? Devout man buried him and great lamentation was made.
All right. That's right, Mrs. Grummer. Now, I just was made known that the cracker slipped off my cheese, or the cheese slipped off my cracker, whatever you want to say. But before we answer more questions, let's read. Mr. Jacob, Mrs. Grummer, you read verse 1, Jacob verse 2, Elaine verse 3, Paul verse 4, and then Bill verse 5, and so on.
Okay. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles.
Chapter 8, verse 2, Jacob.
And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and great lamentation over him.
Elaine, verse 3.
As the soul remained habit of the church, entering into every town, and then committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them.
And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did.
Verse 7. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. One thing through his crying loud voice came out of many that were past possessed with him, and many taken with palsy, and that were laying with him.
There was great joy in that city.
For there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city was sorcery, and he wished the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one.
To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. All right, that works better when we read the passage first. So thank you for the reminder, Brother. I appreciate that. So we had, again, you know, Saul was there consenting to the death of Stephen. Go ahead.
Consenting has the concept of cheerleading.
Okay, it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
The concept of consent here is cheerleading.
Do you need your ears? Do you need your ears on?
No, it's not that. I'll do that if I need it.
Okay.
I just remember.
Okay, good. And we should notice, as Mr. Rummer was saying, that the devout men came and they carried Stephen to his burial, and there was a great lamentation made over him. So they were very grieving over the death of Stephen. In particular, if they were present there, which they probably were, for that sermon, excellent sermon about the Jewish history, how it was very touching. But then when you see the rejection of the religious leader of the council, the rejection of the leadership of the Jewish leadership, to the point of not just rejecting it, but actually taking him and stoning him, that amplifies the grief. Go ahead.
May I read 26, Acts chapter 26?
Please do.
This is Paul before Agrippa. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw a way of light. And in another passage, it talks about how he even put to death men and women.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right here, you know, we see in verse 3, you know, how he made havoc of the church. Paul made havoc of the church, and he put to death men and women. He held men and women and committed them to prison. It doesn't say he put them to death in this verse, but he committed them to prison. And so, this is what the role of Saul was. To the point of having such a great disdain for the gospel that he's willing to make havoc of the church and commit men and women to prison because of what they believe. Jacob, what two things? Good question for there, Jacob, for me, please. Question four.
Two things resulted from Saul's persecution. They were scattered abroad and preached the word.
Okay, so they were scattered, which I don't know if the religious leadership knew that the persecution was going to cause the church to grow, the gospel spread as it did. I'm not sure if they knew that or not, but that's what happened. when as they were scattered, you know, all around the region, and even in some instances, perhaps the eventual time across the Mediterranean basin, they went and they preached the word. So when people hear the word, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When people hear the word of God being preached, then they will become, some of them will become born again Christians. Now we see here a mention, we know Stephen was one of the seven deacons. There were seven deacons listed, probably come with two or three of the names of them. Here we have Philip, another one of the seven deacons, being mentioned in verse 5. Now, again, this is after the persecution. This is as the kind of contemporaneous with the persecution. But after the death of Stephen, we see here Philip. He goes down into the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Now, Samaria is a particular area of the region where was considered the we remember in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. Many of the Jews tried to avoid Samaria. They would go around Samaria if they could, to avoid going through Samaria. Lord Jesus Christ set the example. He went there into Samaria, he sat in the well, he talked to the woman. So in other words, he went to Samaria, number one, then he never talked to a woman, number two, and then he was able to share the gospel with all the people that all the people there in Samaria, not all the people, but the people that were around that incident of that lady, the woman at the well. Go ahead.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they went into captivity, some of the poor stayed behind, and they wrongly intermarried with the inhabitants of the territory there.
Okay.
And so that was the Samaritans, Tammy.
The Assyrians set down different people, and then you end up Second Kings. They set down Babylonians, several of them, different ethnic groups, and those people came and they were worshiping their gods, and they weren't fearing the Lord, and then the lions came and attacked them.
Oh, yeah.
And so those are the people, I guess.
That was 2 Kings 17, you talked about that.
Yeah, 2 Kings 17, that's good, Jacob. So that's right with what we're talking about the Samaritans. Elaine, question number 6, please.
Okay. What two things did the people do? Hearing and seeing the miracles that you did? Those will continue to know.
Okay, hearing and seeing. As we see here, there are three classes of people here. Now, Philip is going, he wants to preach Christ unto them, and all the people, they heard, and they saw, so he, not only was he preaching, but he also was doing some miracles. And so they heard what he was saying, and they also saw the miracles that he did, because he was able to cast out some unclean spirits, and many people were possessed of devils, so they were cast out, and the people with palsy, the people that were lame, those people were the people that were able to be healed in one sense or the other. The people that were possessed, they would be able to be freed of that possession. The people that had the palsy, they would be able to be liberated from the palsy. The people that were lame had liberty from the lameness and were able to walk. Paul, do question 8 for me, please. Go ahead, read that, Elaine, question 8.
What emotion was present in the city?
This is based on verse 8.
Okay. And there was a great joy in that city.
So the emotion that was present was this great amount of joy. Great amount of joy. So, now, in this city where Philip is, there was a man called Simon. Simon was a soothsayer, he was a sorcerer. He himself was one that was not on the side of the truth, but he was against the truth. He was, sometimes I guess you would have, he would be working with demonic workers of darkness, demons, and so forth, directly or indirectly. This was Simon, but he was there. He bewitched the people. And, you know, he made himself out to be some great person, which in the eyes of the people, maybe in the eyes of the people, maybe they thought he was on a human level because he could do this trickery, this bewitching, this witchcraft, and all these different things that are done by the powers that would be given by demonic influence. Barbara.
Simon Magnus is known as one of the greatest sorcerers or witches in history.
Okay. So that's
come down as a legend through witchcraft.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it?
Simon?
Yeah, that's who we're talking about here.
Simon Magnus, yeah, he's known as Simon Magnus.
You know. And so he had this huge reputation, but something happened. Something we'll see in a moment here. Bill number 10, please.
What did the least and the greatest from among the people say? This man is great, is the great power of God.
Okay, but they misassigned the power of God. Because it was not the power of God, it was the power of Satan. This was all things were going on. Let's read verses 11 and following. Barbara, you want to pick up with verse 11, please?
And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery.
12.
But when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and
then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And wonder,
beholding
the miracles and signs which were done.
For when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Mrs. Grummer, verse 16.
For as yet he was fallen upon more, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
They laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost.
Right. Elaine, verse 18.
There was Simon's full of laying on the palms of his hands the Holy Ghost and given both of them money.
Here, Paul, please. Verse 20, Paul. Verse 19, Paul. I'm sorry, 19.
Okay, thank you so much. Give me also this power that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive Holy Ghost.
But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray to God, to pronounce the thought of thy heart and to forgive me.
We'll stop there for a moment. Let's talk about these verses. So, thanks for asking. So we have here Simon. He had bewitched the people a very long time with his sorceries, and witchcraft is never a good thing. And we see something that happens. Something that's greater, far greater than witchcraft, is the influence of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. No matter what they're involved in, God could deliver that person out of that vein of deception, the vein of wickedness. And so, Barbara, want to do question 11, please?
For how long did Simon bewitch the people? For a long time.
For a long time, that's right. And Mom 12, please. Long time.
Question
5. Like you said earlier, he had this reputation of being this, even to this day, you said, Barbara, he's right. Got a huge reputation. Number 12.
Question 5.
Yes.
About what two things does Philip preach? And who is baptized? He preached about the kingdom of God. That's the main thing.
Okay.
And both men and women were baptized. Get the new question.
Well, men and women were baptized, preached about the kingdom of God and the name of the name of Jesus. So you did it okay. And so we see what has happened to Simon here, verse 13. Simon believes, and after he believed, he was baptized. And it says he continued there with Philip, and he wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. This is so he understood the fact of when a true sign, a true miracle is done, and I left that on my desk, Barbara. I'm sorry. You did. I mean, it's probably buried in over there. But you did. You looked up the difference between a miracle and a wonder, and you said that a miracle was something that was supernatural, right?
Right. And everything else comes under that. It's a different form of a miracle.
Different form of a miracle.
And signs were under that.
Okay, and signs were under that as well. So we see here that Simon is wondering at what is going on here. Here the great magician is being full of wonder at what the Holy Spirit is doing through the power of Philip. What Philip is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Barbara?
They back in 10, they said that this man is the great power of God. Witchcraft is only about one thing, and that's power. Who has the most power?
Mm-hmm.
And they are constantly at each other's back, and somebody's got more power than they are to get that power. This really hit me, because he was beholding the miracles and the signs.
Mm-hmm.
And later it says, you know, your heart's wrong.
Right.
Because what he was after wasn't the miracle and the signs and the belief. He thought the belief would lead him to the power. What he wanted was their power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he recognized, he was Simon Magnus, but he recognized that they were greater than he was.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. 14, Mom, please.
What did Samaria receive, and who was sent to them? They received the word of God, and Peter and John were sent to them.
Okay, that's right. And,
15.
And they prayed, in verse 15, we notice that Peter and John, they prayed on these new converts, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a transitional time period here, and so Holy Ghost was not immediately dwell the believers at the moment of salvation. Today, when somebody is saved and becomes a believer, Holy Spirit immediately indwells the believer. But in this stage of the early church, the Holy Spirit had to get the Holy Spirit was bestowed by another means. Now, Anna.
Well, it's interesting in verse 15, they prayed for that they might receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, then they laid their hand on verse 17, but
right.
It was because of the prayer.
Right.
Which
it is the prayer.
Now it seems like in the charismatic movement, it's all about the touching and so forth and so on.
Yes.
Of course, I wasn't in the charismatic.
I understand.
Now you're doing well.
Okay.
That's right. Tammy, number 16, please.
They were baptized
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's whose name they were baptized in. Now, after they prayed, and after Peter and John laid their hands on them, that is when they received the Holy Ghost. It was the answer to God's prayer. Now, Simon was noticing this, and Anna, you want to do question 18, please?
What did Simon offer to Peter and John? Money?
He offered the money, because he thought that there was some special talent they had, some special trick they had, by laying on the hands that people would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, Simon, he believed and he was baptized, but he was a new Christian, very new Christian, just coming out of witchcraft himself. And so he offered them money because he thought he would like to do that as well. And so he says he wanted this power. He wanted this particular power so he could lay people hands on people that they would receive the Holy Ghost. That's what he wanted. Barbara.
I have a question.
Sure.
Did he believe or did he believe in their power? The baptism had gone along with part of what would have happened if he had believed as a Christian, And he would have gone along with that because he believed it was part of receiving the power.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, did he actually believe or did he just believe in the power?
I think he actually believed.
Okay.
Since he was so new in the faith and he didn't understand a lot of things, and he's just coming out of something.
Fell on stony ground.
Exactly. Tammy?
Well, in verse 13, it says,
also. Right.
And
yes.
He was baptized. Mm-hmm. And when he was baptized,
the point is,
he was baptized. And then later, Peter admonishes him. So it seems like,
right.
You know, if he wasn't, if he didn't tell him to pray and mm-hmm. ask that the sin be forgiven, you know, then maybe, you know, he wouldn't have even mentioned any of that.
Yes.
If he wasn't saved.
Right. Barbara.
I still go back to when he wondered beholding the miracles because he was amazed.
Yes.
If he couldn't do this, it had to be on
him. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. He wondered. But the fact that he knows, he knew what was real and what was not real.
He knew he didn't have it.
No, he didn't have it.
Pastor Dan?
Yes, Jacob.
Yeah, at this point, I think Simon, he had worldly sorrow, that's for sure. In 24, verse 24, that
yes.
answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things that you have spoken come upon me. That's definitely a Second Chronicles 7 something.
Second Chronicles 7.
Something there, let me see, I don't know exactly what that is. Worldly sorrow. Let's see, just like Judas had.
He did. You find it there, Jacob?
Verse 7, it's 2 Corinthians 7.
Oh, 2 Corinthians, okay.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at 1 Corinthians. There. Oh, yeah, 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, the sorrow of the world worketh death.
I misremember.
Worldly sorrow here.
So you're looking at it being a world of sorrow.
Right.
Mrs. Grammer, you number 10, please. I mean number 20.
To whom did Peter say that many perish with thee, and why? And he said that to Simon, and why? Because those. Oh my goodness, I can't read my writing. Anyway.
He thought
he could buy the gift of the Holy of the gift of God with money, and he couldn't do it.
And so Peter here identified the fact that his heart was not right. He told him, the heart is not right for the Son of God. Now, obviously, if you're asking, you're offering to pay money to receive this so-called gift that they had to be able to pray for people. The power was in the answer to prayer. But then it was manifest in the fact that they laid their hands upon them and they received the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so Peter told him, you know, he said, he condemned him, and he says, you know, the condition of your heart is wrong. You know, that heart's not right in the sight of God, and you don't, none of your concern as far as, this is an apostolic gift that the apostles have, and it's not a gift for you. Barbara, you have thought?
Yeah. He gave what he had,
okay.
Which was his money,
yes.
Which mm-hmm. makes it work.
Mm-hmm. It does.
He believed, but I can believe. When I was a child, I believed in Santa Claus too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's faith and there's saving faith.
Yeah. I mean, I think Simon had the saving faith because he believed.
Well, then
and was baptized, but he didn't lose. He just was went the wrong way for a while. You know, he sinned. He fell into sin. Yeah, and as Peter, as we see Peter rebuked him, he says, "Your heart's not right. Whenever our hearts aren't right before God, then we start doing stuff and asking for things and doing things that are completely opposite of what the Scripture is says we should do many times."
So you're saying he was a Christian?
Yes.
And
And then he wanted.
We're going to see this man in heaven.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When I shake his hand, I'll believe it.
Okay. I believe we will. But, Bill.
A lot of times somebody is just coming into the faith. There might be a seed of genuine real faith in the heart.
Right.
But they're more consumed by what they actually think.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts of the head, which of course is not saving faith.
Right.
But they're, you know, they could be confused on that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That causes confusion there.
Mm-hmm. It does. But Jacob, you went to 22? And then we have a question in the back of the room, a comment in the back of the room.
Yes, sir. I'll get 22. What two things did Peter tell Simon that he must do? He said, repent and pray.
Okay, so he said, repent and pray that God, that he may be forgiven. And so whenever we sin, and clearly this was a sin that Simon had, whenever we sin, we need to do the same thing. We need to pray, repent, and pray that God would forgive us. Annie, you had a thought?
Well, I just was thinking about today, sometimes Christians, they try and throw money at problems, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, like, now counselors are at some Christian university, they have counseling programs, and sometimes they become so enamored with psychology, but the problem is that psychology doesn't really account for God, generally, and
mm-hmm. All right. That's right. Oh, Phil.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that what Anna is touching on there is true, because we use psychology as a science of man, a science that is developed by man, but it's actually already developed in the Bible.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is points to truth psychology.
What are you talking about? Well, man can only deal with the psyche of man. He can't deal with the spirit. That's the whole thing.
Well, yes, but the problem is that the problems that people are experiencing is the spiritual reason.
Right. Right.
You can't fix it.
Yeah, quite often we look for a physical resolution, not a spiritual resolution of things.
Yeah, it matters about what's in the conscious mind and what is subconscious.
Yes, that's right.
And what is subconscious can move into the conscious field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a difficult subject to deal with. Mm-hmm. I think the Bible points to subconscious mind very effectively.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, so effectively,
you
may not even think about
right, that's right.
But it covers both beautifully, so it's, mm-hmm. You know, you keep your psychology books.
Right, that's right. Barbara?
It was Jung who developed the concept of the unconscious. It comes out of the occult with the concept that we are part of the one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, kind of clearly, for all these years of my life, and learn a certain way of
yes.
thinking about things. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't negate the fact that, you know, there's substance that people need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, not 12, there's 13.
I mean, there was a great work being done in this city, in this town. And when you went to the chiefest of the sinners of the town, if you want to call him that, I mean, he still has any higher rank than anyone else, but he may be perceived that way. And he believed and he was baptized.
And he was, I mean, here, if he had all this power that people thought he was a great, great one, then this is really a humbling for him.
Yes.
Because he had realized that, you know, everything that he was thinking was wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And know, but that's the way it is for Christians. We have to be continually changed by the word of God and what God says, rather than our own ideas.
Yes, that's right. You want to pick up with verse 23, Tammy, please? We'll read some more verses there.
For I perceive that they are in the gall of bitterness, and in the bonds of iniquity.
Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things may be spoken from upon me.
And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Is it grammar? Verse 26, please.
Oh, read it.
Yes, please.
Sorry. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert.
And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all their treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship.
And Paul, or rather, Elaine, verse 28, please.
So when he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go here and join thyself to this chariot.
Bill 30.
Okay, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest?
And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and say,
all right, verse 32, Mo, please.
The faith of the scripture which he read with this, he has led the sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth.
And so we see here, going back to verse 23, Simon had these two conditions that Peter noticed. He noticed that he was in the gall of bitterness, and he was in the bond of iniquity. The gall of bitterness, and he was in the bond of iniquity, which really is going to hurt his fellowship with the Lord and with other Christians as well. Tammy, number 24, please.
What did Simon ask Peter and John to do for him? To pray for him that none of these things in previous verse come upon him.
Okay, so here it seems as though Simon was somewhat repentant of what was happening. He didn't realize. I mean, he was clearly told. He was rebuked, and he was told that his request was out of order, was wrong. And then he asked. He said he was told what was going to happen to him. His attitude of his heart. He responded by saying, you know, he asked to pray for me. He asked to be prayed for. And so, after this encounter that they had with Simon in this city, with other people that were also became believers, they returned to Jerusalem, and they preached the gospel. They returned to Jerusalem, and they preached the gospel. And number 26, please.
Where did the angel of the Lord send Philip?
Down to Gaza, which is in the southern portion of right down here is Gaza area, that purple section right there, that little purple area. Can you see that okay? That's okay. Gaza is right there, that purple area. Down there, so that's where Gaza is. Okay, so he was sent there. And when he went down there, and we see he counted this man of Ethiopia, a man of great authority, who was in charge of all the treasure, you know, the treasure of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And he was in Jerusalem. The purpose of going to Jerusalem was to worship. Candace is fine. I've said it both ways. Candace or Candace, however you want to. This is how we prefer. Probably the correct way is Candace. But he was there in Jerusalem to worship. The main reason why he was in Jerusalem was going there. You know that he was coming off probably the feast. I mean, he's returning from one of the feasts, but he's there to worship. He being a Jew. Worship as a Jew. He's there. He knows nothing of Christianity. He knows nothing of the gospel. But he's reading the Bible. He's reading the Old Testament. And, yes, Tammy.
Do you think he would have been a proselyte?
He may have been a proselyte.
In Ethiopia.
Yes. He may have been a proselyte, I'm not sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. Anna?
He was a eunuch.
Yes, he was.
Did you mention that?
Yes, we mentioned it. It says in the passage, we mentioned it a minute ago.
My mind was off.
Anna?
He could be a proselyte, but then I suppose it might be possible that when the people ran away to Egypt in the time of Jeremiah, mm-hmm. maybe somehow some of them got to Ethiopia.
Yes, that's right.
But he could also be a proselyte.
Mm-hmm.
It
doesn't say one way or the other whether he's a proselyte. He's there in Jerusalem. He's worshiping. Barbara.
Anybody in the king of court in the state of Queens who was in charge of anything that had to do with the government was always a eunuch. Joseph, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar was a eunuch.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
So he was given great responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Anna, 26. Yes, go ahead.
No,
Potiphar. You want your ears? Need your ears?
No,
we did 26. Oh, we did 26 already? I'm sorry.
Oh, we talked about 27.
And we talked about 27 already?
28.
We're 28, okay. Good. Mrs. Grummer, you wanted 28, please.
What book was the Ethiopian eunuch reading? Isaiah.
He was reading Isaiah the prophet. He was there in right there in Isaiah 23. He's reading that, and Isaiah 53. Thank you, Bill. Isaiah 53. And Philip is there down here in Gaza, and the Spirit says to Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Now, this chariot, it's the horses can go 30 miles an hour, 25, 30, 35 miles an hour. So the chariots, it's going like a car on a residential streets, usually. They go about 25. Sometimes they go slower. Sometimes they go faster. But nonetheless, it's a moving vehicle. And the Spirit says, go join thyself to this chariot. He says, go near. Join thyself to this chariot. Go ahead.
The eunuch was driving along in this chariot.
Yes.
And that's
yes, the chariot was in motion.
Oh, I knew.
The chariot was in motion. I don't think it was parked in the palm tree or some shady place. He wasn't taking a 5 minute break. I think the chariot was moving. And as the chariot was moving, he was reading Isaiah, and then the Spirit says, "Go join us up the chariot." No.
Oh, that
was
that's
right.
That's
right.
Because he ran thither.
Well, look at Elijah, who pulled off his robes and
yes,
the chariot.
That's right. That's right.
And that chariot.
Yeah. Do you need yours? Okay. Yes. So, Tammy, you have a thought or no?
Well, it says Philip ran thither to him.
It does.
So he ran up to him. And I imagine when he was asking the question, he was running up to him.
Right.
So, here he is asking
this
question while he's running.
He's up there running to him.
What are you reading?
And he's just, I understand this stuff with Aretas.
He's a good runner, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
He didn't run the whole time
because
the
yes.
Lord planted him.
Right.
You know, he got him up.
He
got him down.
You know, and he says, the question was, you know, the desire of the Ethiopian was, you know, why don't you come up here and sit with me and explain this to me? You know, as the chariot is moving. He's asking this. Mrs. Grummer, number 32, please.
Oh, question number 32?
Yes.
How was the Messiah led as the sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb? down before the shearers.
And so
he opened not his mouth.
This is right from Isaiah 53. Now, Jacob, let's begin reading with verse 33, please.
His humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth.
And Elaine, verse 34, please.
You want me to do the question?
I want you to read verse 34.
Oh, okay. And you didn't answer the soul, and so I pray that you can speak with the prophets of soul for a song of man.
And Paul, verse 35.
And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Jesus.
And as they went on their way, they came upon a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?"
And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both broke, and the eunuch to be baptized. So this is the man of the chariot just said. This is all going as they were
yes.
Along.
Right. He said the chariot was still moving.
Yeah.
Philip was explaining this to the Ethiopian, and he said they told the chariot to stop, which means it was rolling, it was moving.
Yeah.
That was a big chariot because he would have had a driver.
Yes.
So there are three of them in a chariot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
And when they would come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, but the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
In verse 40, Anna? Please. But Philip was found at Azotes, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And Mrs. Grummer, verse 41, please. Oh, wait, there's not 41. Okay, I'm sorry. There we go, verse 41. There we go. It stops at verse 40. Thank you. Thank you for that.
That would be 91.
Anna.
I have this on the screen here. I have Ethiopian down here.
Yes.
South of Egypt. And this is Israel up here. So Gaza, I guess, would be about here.
Southwest of Jerusalem.
It's hard to pinpoint because this doesn't have that specifically on this map. Maybe I should try and find a better picture somewhere. But this is a
good
map I found so far. So
good. Okay. Thank you for putting the map up. And so, yes, Brian?
I have read in my Bible, maybe you can, but Philip was found in Azotus, was 25 miles from Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And passing through, he preached in all three sources, so it's another 70 miles.
Mm-hmm. Azotus is what you see up here.
The old Bashan.
Right there. And there's Gaza here, and Azotus is up here.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm just having trouble with my number.
And then Caesarea is up here.
Okay.
Caesarea, Azotus, and the Gaza. So about 20 miles or so. And the Spirit caught him up and took him there.
It's at the very southeast corner of the Jerusalem by the sea.
Yes, that's the Gaza Strip. The Gaza is where that is. That's good, Jacob. Now, so we see here, he's reading Isaiah, and he's reading this passage, and we see that he discovers that Isaiah talks about his life being taken from him, the Messiah. The Messiah's life was taken from him, from the earth. Any question, Tammy?
I didn't get what Jacob said about being God first.
Oh, he's saying of Israel.
It's the old Philistine.
I think.
I mean, Gaza is part of Philistine. The old
Philistine. Right, okay. I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's along the coast.
It's along the coast, yes. Along the coast, obviously.
It's in the center of Israel.
Right. And I think you said Israel, didn't he? Of all of Israel. It's in the southwest of Israel. Okay. Jacob, I didn't have my ears on. Can you repeat what you said about the location of Gaza?
Yes, sir. It's the southwest corner of the country by the sea.
The whole country's called Gaza, but it's more of the Ashkelon, southwest of Boston. Okay, that's right. Right past the pizza place.
Yeah.
They were part of the five Philistine kings.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And so,
I read a scripture that said it was Philistia in the land of the Canaanites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that word means immigrant or immigration or something like that. They came from a different place, Castor, sons of Mizraim, not Cain.
Jacob, as long as you want to do question 34, please.
34, yes.
Yes.
What question did the eunuch ask Philip? He said, "I don't speak of the prophet there, so I know of himself or some other man."
And so we see here, Philip took the opportunity when the eunuch asked, "Can you please explain this to me?" He got a question, and so he preached from the same passage of Scripture, from Isaiah 53. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached about Jesus right from that very passage. But all the passages of Scripture, in some way or the other, are about the Lord Jesus Christ, either directly or indirectly. And so he took this passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, a very important passage that's ignored a lot today by many Jews, and he preached to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Elaine, you want to do 26, please?
Thank you.
36.
What did the eunuch desire of the chariot came across the body of water?
That's right. He asked, what doth hinder me to be baptized? We see earlier in the chapter, we see Simon being baptized. And now later on in this chapter, we see with Simon, with Peter and John, and then we see with Philip. And the eunuch here with the Ethiopian, he's being asking to be baptized. He's asking this. He's asking, here's water, what's the thing to be baptized? And they were again moving. This chariot was moving. It was going. It was rolling. And we see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Pope says, if you believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. And then and part of understanding was, he confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now, someone that cannot confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God cannot receive a biblical baptism. Paul, go ahead and read verse 38. And I have a question for you. Want me to read the question first? Or do you want to read the verse first, Paul?
Which one? 37 through 38.
Question is, to where did Philip and the Ethiopian go? That's question 38. Now go ahead and read verse 38 to give the answer.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both
with the water,
both
Philip
and the
eunuch.
And he baptized him.
Okay, so where did they go, Paul?
They went down into the water.
They went down into the water. And so what happened to Philip? The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and Philip went up to a little bit north of here to Azotes. Philip, number 40, please.
Where was Philip found preaching? Azotes?
Azotes. That's right. He preached to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he was down here, as we saw before, to Azotus, and he went all the way up, and he was way up north to Caesarea. All the cities along the way, he was preaching. Anna.
So in Azotus and like Judea, but then Caesarea. Caesarea and Samaria or Galilee? No.
I think so.
Which? I just asked.
Is it Galilee?
It's to the west of Samaria.
Okay.
It's not in Samaria.
Well, Samaria.
Tammy.
Is there a reason for question 40? Is this Acts 8:4?
Yeah, there's a reason.
Okay. Someone left off the zero.
So Bill was answering it according to verse 40.
Yes, he was.
I answered it according to verse 4.
And what's your answer?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching.
So it's a question that you can apply to verse 4 and to verse 40.
Which one was it meant for?
It was meant for verse 40. But thank you. It fit with verse 4, though. Did it not?
I answered it.
What was your answer?
Well, I see I wrote 40 above it, and I wrote Adventus and all those things that came to this week. I don't know what the answer is.
It's just everywhere is okay. He's preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. The ruler should have been a 40 instead of a 4. But verse 4, the answer is in verse 4 too. Okay? Right. You want to do 41, Barbara? 41? The question 41, please? Yes.
Acts 8:30-31, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him.
And number 42, ma'am, please.
42?
Yes.
What chapter is
that? We're doing question 42.
Oh. Where in the book of Acts?
I said Acts 7, 2 to 16. That's good. Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 16. Tammy?
What is the reference to the only verse wherefore,
brother? Yeah, I'm not used to the name. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and we make a point over this business. But we will give
ourselves continually to prayer to the ministry of the word. Acts 6, 3, and 4.
Good. That's right. And Anna,
number
question 44.
In what chapter of Acts were apostles let out of prison by the angel of the Lord. Not the angel, the angel.
Yes, it's supposed to be angel, that's right. You're right. Thanks for noticing.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 5, wasn't it? Chapter 5?
Chapter 5,
verse 19.
45.
Okay, understandable. Understandable why you'd be confused. Especially the angle. You had a different angle.
I'm distracted by the angle.
Okay.
I put the answer to question 45 by question 44, and then I forgot to answer 45. So
okay.
Excuse.
44. All right, Ms. Grummer, question 45, please.
Hold the mom, actually.
Oh, Jacob, you do question 45.
45. Where in the book of Acts can this verse be found? Neither is there salvation in any other for none other than anyone that has been given among men, whereby you must be saved. That's 5. That's 4.
4.
Oh, 4.
4. Acts 4:12, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me see. Yeah. Hey, you found it.
And Elaine, number 46, please.
What was the hour for the ninth hour?
The ninth hour, that's right. Acts 3.
It's 3 p.m., but
it's
the ninth hour.
And Bill, 47, please. Oh, wait, Paul. I'm sorry, Paul. I'm sorry, Bill. Paul, 47. What chapter of the book of Acts records the first Pentecost after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Chapter 2,
right, Paul?
Two.
Chapter 2. And number 48, Bill.
Acts
cite the reference of the following, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. That would be chapter 1, verse 8.
That's right. All right, so Barbara, 49.
Here's an encouraging thought. I was really taken aback by the fact that John and Peter were sent to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Philip was sent to the eunuch, who was basically a Gentile, a proselyte.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip himself was Greek. So God sends the people into your life whom you need.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't send Philip to the Jews.
No.
He sent John and Peter, and he didn't send John and Peter to the eunuch.
No, that's right.
So we relate to different people on different levels, different things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I have found that since January, the people that have come into my life, I had no clue that I would need them or whatever, but they had filled an exact need since then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really interesting to see. So that's my thought. Thank God sends people into your life that you
need. Well, your thought on your question for that.
I didn't have anything.
How are you, Tammy?
I just thought it was interesting. You mentioned severely possible, you know, as a result of persecution. Martyrdom of Stephen,
mm-hmm.
And the persecution that arose because of that the Christians, the church in Jerusalem spread, and as they spread, they shared the gospel everywhere they went. And so they found the contracting, which was probably the intent of those that persecuted Stephen, the church grew.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, you're talking again?
This is not messing with. From Samaria to Jerusalem is 40 miles. I think that's right. 80 miles from Samaria to Gaza.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what's written in my Bible.
Okay. Must be true.
Must be true.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Let's see. Do you have more thoughts, Tammy, or not?
Well, I do, but I don't need to show anymore.
Yeah. Question 49, please.
What is encouraging probably has in Acts chapter 8? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch had great influence in the queen's court as a treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
We don't hear about him again in the scripture, but there must have been great opportunities he had to share the gospel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One, I mean, we don't know what came of it, but the opportunities were there, and we trust that
we took
them. Yes.
Tammy. Isn't there, it seems like in the last 30 years, we've heard about the church in Ethiopia or something, haven't we?
I think so, yes.
I don't know, just in a general sense. So, I mean,
yes, as a result of the...
He would have been
yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Barbara.
Well, Haile Selassie used to think he was the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who? Haile Selassie. He was, back in the day, he was the big guy in Ethiopia, and he considered himself the lion of God.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have an opportunity to answer a question for Diana?
Yes.
She did.
Talk about the
yes, yes, she did. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, Jacob. Thank you, Anna. I'm sorry. Jacob, go ahead.
Yes, what I find encouraging is that in verse 1 and 4, when they were scattered, for therefore they were scattered abroad when everyone preached the word.
That's
yeah,
right.
Wouldn't this? When Constantine gave that to Pope Leo, that church wasn't totally corrupted yet. They accepted all the pantheon, the Greek gods. And Bob Halloween is a religion. All this other stuff, you know, the dogma and stuff like that. Yeah, but they prospered when they were persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the dominant church died, and you know, it wasn't totally gone. It was
right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Elaine, question 49, please.
Okay. Well, I'd like to sort of sign with the but also money, and that's not going to give you the power of letting the people do.
Hey, Paul, how about you? What is something that encouraged you through chapter 8?
It was explicit at the point, and also explained that God is sovereign and in control of everything that is happening and still happening.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he is in control. He is completely in control of everything. How about you, Bill? Question 49.
I think it's extremely encouraging that the eunuch was reading Isaiah 53 in particular.
Yes.
Everything in the Old Testament, he happened to be reading that particular chapter at that time.
Yes.
The clearest reference of Jesus Christ, that I know of anyway, in the Old Testament.
Right.
So clearly portrays what Christ did on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
His suffering. Isaiah was written 500, 600, 700 years before Christ came into the
world. Mm-hmm.
So from that point, it is encouraging because you're looking forward from that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anytime I see a reference to Isaiah 53, that's encouraging in itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jacob.
Yeah, I think I said that Constantine handed over to Pope Leo was Pope Sylvester.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot that. I think I misspoke on that.
Any more thoughts about chapter 8, Barbara?
Philip ended up in Caesarea.
Yes.
20 years later, he was still there.
Mm.
And Acts 21:8, it says, and the next day we were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him.
Okay.
So 20 years later,
he was still there.
He stayed in Caesarea.
What's that? 21:8. More thoughts about chapter 8?
We're talking about Samaria. To put it in present day, it's what we call the West Bank.
Okay.
West Bank and
that's the location you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Samaria and Judea. Right.
We hear about West Bank.
Right, right, we do. We do. And that's the area of Samaria. West Bank?
And Judea. Okay.
Any more thoughts on chapter 8? Jacob, would you close in prayer, please?
Father God, thank you so much for letting us join together here today to study your word. Praise your holy name. Just want to get closer to you, in your spirit and the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sorry.